Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 720 967. It's the Legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
And a very good evening. 6:30 on a Monday evening. I'm Steve Hothersall. We've got our legends in the studio in John Aldrich and Graham Sharp. And your chance to have your say on the weekend's footballing action. 0151 420 967. Liverpool game was absolutely brilliant to watch. The Everton game, thank goodness there was the cricket there to be able to turn over to Sharpie. As soon as as soon as we got to half time, I ditched that Everton game. I wasn't watching
I watched the cricket match and I thought it was brilliant.
The cricket?
Yeah, oh, I thought the result was fabulous.
You ditched the Everton game?
No.
The Everton ambassador ditched the Everton game?
It's breaking news. I watched it.
It was the right choice, mate. It was a good game.
No, I watched it and I had a drink on the West Indies. I thought they were brilliant.
What about that, the end of that game? I mean, absolutely, you know, devastating. For anyone who didn't watch it, Aldo, explain what happened. So West Indies needed 19 in the last over.
19 off six balls. Yeah, then you'd expect the bowler to go up and put in the block hole, which is like a yorker under the bat. And for some reason, you know, Stokes, who's a fantastic player, he just, he seems to lose it. The first one got smashed for the six, and then all of a sudden you can see in his face he started to panic, and every four sixes and the bounce, he just, I don't like using the word, he just lost it. I won't say, but he lost it, you know. West Indies, I thought, had no chance going into the last over. But what a great game of cricket.
Oh,
fantastic, fantastic game of cricket. Well, 2020 is the best to watch, isn't it? It is very exciting, you know. It's not cricket as it's supposed to be, you know, in the manner what it's perceived over the years, but it's the most exciting by a million miles.
And loads of great sledging going on in the game
as well.
You two liked a little bit of sledging, didn't you?
Of course, absolutely. Yeah. It's got to be done,
Anna. Is there anyone who you picked on constantly?
In football. Yeah. I remember Van der Nau when he was at Millwall. When we played them, I was down his ear a little bit. He didn't, you know, he went to pop, by the way. He won 3-0, I think we did. He had a stinker, but I was saying things which I can't really...
I forgot he was at Millwall.
But I can say on radio. But it went on, did the Sharpie, you know, he used to, you know, say things, you know.
Sharpie's a bit more upstanding, isn't he? I can't imagine him sort of laying into someone on the football pitch.
I wonder if they upset me.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's right, quiet assassin.
Talking of laying in, Callum Smith, absolutely brilliant in boxing, wasn't he? He's going to go a long, long way.
Magnificent, yeah, fantastic, yeah. Yeah, well done, yeah. First round as well, again.
Well done, what a sporting weekend. So we've got a contrast tonight. We've got Sharpie, who's given us licence not to watch the end of Everton games.
No, I did watch it. Let me tell you.
I was switching it over, actually. It's great because, you know, it was all the day, you know, what's Leicester, you know, the cricket, Everton. It was just a great, great day to watch sports in general.
I watched the Leicester game and I thought, right, okay, afternoon of football. Two massively different games. You look at Leicester and you look at a team that roll their sleeves up, said it time and time again, not great players. You look through the team and you go, I like the goalkeeper Schmeichel, the right back is okay, the two centre backs are okay, experienced, the boy in midfield, Kante, I think I like him, but
very good.
There's nothing outstanding, but what they are a team that, one, know how to defend, and two, know how to play in the break. And really exciting to watch, and I thought, wow, this is a proper team. Then
it's 4-4-2, as we keep on saying it. It's old-fashioned. You're watching an old-fashioned, like an 80s side, in many, many respects. But one thing, they have had luck on injuries, the injury front. Key players, you know, I've been there all through the season for them, and good luck to them. You know, Liverpool done them a little bit of a favour at the weekend, and everyone wants them to win. It's a dream story which you could never, ever think that was going to happen, so we're all behind
them. But you look at that team and you think they're getting what they deserve, because they're all defend and then hit it long, and they've got somebody who run his socks off up front, Vardy, get them up the field. Now you go from that and compare it to the Everton game, where slow, pedestrian, you know, people saying Lukaku lacked service. For me, I'm looking at the game and I'm thinking to myself, please somebody tell him to pull on Danny Blint. Just play against Danny Blint, and wherever he goes, you go with him. And then if they get the ball, knock the ball to me, because I'm up against him, who can't run, he can't jump. But we don't. He goes and sits with some, he never won ahead of Lukaku. That's, you know, when he goes into the game about Champions League football and everything else. I just think, surely there's got to be a common sense somewhere. To, it's like you or me playing against somebody, I'd say, I fancy myself against him. I'm going to go against him.
Yeah.
So you automatic goal kicks, anything, you'd get yourself and Danny Blint.
Well, you do. Of course you do. You
and put, bully him.
But early on the game, I watched the... Now, Delafoe, early on, had the beating of Blint all day. Like, he was off him. He didn't know. He was putting balls in the box. And I was flicking over from what happened? Did they not give him any more service after the beginning of the game? Because I thought, if Evan's going to win, that is the area where they're going to win the game, down the right-hand side.
Yeah, get it, and they didn't. He was poor. Delafield, for me, again, away from home, I'm not sure if he sat with him, but, you know, we started with him, we started well. But I just thought, the comparison of the two sides, Leicester, who are up there, hopefully, possibly winning in the league, to Everton, who everybody's saying how good a side they are and everything else, chalk and cheese. Chalk and cheese between the two sides, Leicester and Everton.
Okay, get the headphones on. The phone lines are ringing already. 01514720967. Let's get straight into some calls tonight. There's a lot to get off the chest. And we're going to start with Mike, who's in Prescott. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Mike.
Evening, chaps. You okay?
Hello, Mike.
Graeme, where do we start? I honestly think, no, Graeme, I think there's no way back for him. I think he's lost the dressing room. And I think what Baines' comments are today would completely suggest that. There's no chemistry amongst the players and the manager. I think there's no way back from now, Graeme. There's only one thing that's going to save his job, and I think it's the FA Cup.
Make it that as well. Do you think that's enough? I know that, you know, it's the FA Cup, but I just think the bigger picture. You know, the worrying thing for me, and okay, Baines has come out today and with the statements and everything else, there's no chemistry, which you can see, you know, they're lacking something. But just basic things for me, and I'm thinking Manchester United, I've said on the Friday, it was no great sheets going there. I don't think they're great.
No.
But we set up in a way, and I was just saying to Aldo there as well, I don't know if you heard us about Lukaku. Yeah. Surely somebody must be saying to him, go and play on Blind. Go and play on Danny Blind, Aldo. And that's a disappointing thing for me, because they were there for the taking. And I just thought that we didn't turn up. You know, Ross Bartley was poor, but Jagielka was our best player for me. Maybe should have scored from header. But overall, I thought, it's back to the way it used to be. You know, when you go to the Chelsea game and it was great, then Arsenal was poor. That was as poor yesterday. I thought we just weren't at the races.
The most frustrating thing, Graeme, is that team yesterday was probably our strongest team on paper. I thought before the game, we'll go out and get a game. As I said, there's just nothing there. And even Jags' comments after the game, he was just lifeless. I just think there's big problems, and I honestly do believe he's lost the dressing room. And once you lose the dressing room, there's no way back, I don't think. And I think I looked at a few polls on Twitter last night, and I'd say 98% of the fans want him gone now. And I don't think they will, because he's got the semi-final just around the corner. But I hope to God that, as I say, if we win it, then it keeps him in a job. So it's hard rock against a hard place, isn't it, really?
What did you think of the line-up? Were you happy to see Delafield and Lennon, you know, wide players?
Yeah, I was, but when I actually seen them playing, Graeme, I don't think Lennon knew where he was playing because he was coming inside all the time. I thought he was acting as a 10. He just seemed lifeless at where he was. And on paper, you got two wingers, obviously, trying to get to the byline, which is of strength to get the ball to Lukaku. But when he actually played, it didn't seem to correlate what the team was on paper. And I thought it was just bizarre. And then he takes Delafoe off, who's probably doing the better out of the two, and he's Lennon on. And he brings this back of the Echo fella, though, who he looks like.
We've had him before, Bakayoko, but not the back of
the Echo. It worries me, Graeme, when the player drives himself to Finch Farm, that worries me straight away. But I sit there and look at the team we've got, and I honestly believe we've got a stronger team on paper than Tottenham. But look what Pochettino's done there. Look what Ranieri's got. As a manager, you've got to get the team playing.
I just think at times we lack a little bit of devilment, you know. And I'm not talking about going around kicking people all the time, kind of thing, but we just look at it as if we lack of desire, you know, and the want to win and the desire to win. If you go goal down and roll your sleeves up and say, come on, we're going to pull my team through here. And I just don't think we've got enough of that. I think we're too we accept too many things. We accept all of it. We've won down 1-0 off. It's all, well, that's another defeat kind of thing. There's no real hunger and passion for me.
Hey, Sharpie, giving away the lowest number of fouls in the Barclays Premier League this season, Everton.
Jesus, that's
another stat.
we're not mounting them on you.
Yes, you are.
What do you think of Umani Ass, John? Because you saw him.
Pass.
Yeah.
Passing us.
I don't know. To be fair, we've had plenty of them in Liverpool over the last 25 years. You know, boosters for players have come and you go, what's this all about? But hey, he's only young and...
He's only been...
Maybe he needs to settle, you know, but from what I've seen up to now, just...
Yeah.
I don't know. He doesn't look like a footballer.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't look... But to be fair to the boy, he's been thrown on 2 minutes here, 5 minutes here. He's not really the run. Yeah. Disappointing thing when he came out and said the fact that he's not fit, you know, which is a worrying thing for me. But I just thought going away from home, and it's adventurous on paper, with Lennon one side, Bartley, you know, Delafeu. I'm not sure you go away from home too many times with that lineup and win games in the Premier League.
I haven't watched the game on and off, you know, I'm disappointed in Everton because, you know, when you look at the away record, what they have is phenomenal. One defeat all season. And he went to Man United as though because in years gone by...
Yeah, but they draw a lot, John,
haven't they? Yeah, but it doesn't matter, Steve. It's the whole team to beat away from home. And it was... Man United, just drab. You can see
they grind
to get results at home. And I just thought Everton would have turned up a little bit more and you know, with the record behind them. And it was as though they went there and they expected to get beat in many ways. You know,
Graham, what would you have done differently than you stay game?
I don't know if I'd have played Delafeu and Lennon. I know it's adventurous and it's great to go and play there. I just think, for me, Delafeu still at the stage where... Yeah, he's great in flashes. As John said before, he starts the game well, but then fades out of it. I don't think he does enough defensively. Listen, he's still young, he's learning, he's getting rave reviews for the Spanish under-21s, I know that. But I just think at the moment, sometimes in the Premier League, and as I said to you before, where you have to roll up your sleeves and dig in, and just say, hold on, let's dig in here. You know, let's sacrifice something. I think going away from home, I think his best games have been against teams from lower down, you know, that's, and I just think going away from the Manchester, even going to likes of Stoke, would you play him at Stoke? I wouldn't, because physically it's too much for him. So I just think at times, and we talked about Leicester 4-4-2. What's wrong with that system now? You know what, we play this system with 4-2-3-1, and when it works, it's brilliant kind of thing. But for me, as a striker, and you saw Lukaku was isolated yesterday, I think looking at Leicester, and there's nothing wrong with the way they play, defending four, and get two up front. And I'd like us maybe just to change a little bit, just to see if something's better. But we're setting this 4-2-3-1, and everybody says at home, why are you having two defensive midfield players? I think with the players that we've got, maybe 4-4-2, get a settled side and a system. But listen, people will hit back and say 4-2-3-1 was a success for them the first year around. That's what most of the teams play nowadays. But for me, as a striker, I would love to see Lukaku with somebody up top with him.
Morelos for me would fit the bill in that little hole. You know, and yesterday I looked the way they set up. I see your point. A little bit flimsy-ish going to Man United. A little bit, because we play with like three players like Coutinho, you know, Firmino and Lallana at the time. You think, well, you need a little bit of strength in there, don't you? So see, if you're going to do that and stiffen up against sides like West Ham away or Man United or in the semis, for me, Morelos fits the bill either behind Lukaku on the left or on the right. You know, he's that type of player because he'll give you something going back and he works his socks off. And you know, he's got a bit of muscle about him as well.
Thanks very much for your thoughts, Mike. Thank you very much indeed. 01514720967. Everton sandwich between West Brom and Bournemouth in the Premier League table.
Won a few games, have you?
What?
What are you stressing that for?
I'm just saying the sandwich between West Brom and Bournemouth. I'm giving you a fact, here, Charles.
Who are you sandwiched between?
We're sandwiched between Chelsea
Stoke.
Chelsea and Stoke. The one thing
Stoke
about Everton
is... I was Stoke there, not being funny. How are they there? And I look at their running's hard.
To be fair to them, they're playing some decent stuff. You know, they were disappointing Saturday.
They've changed, haven't they? Because they used to be, you know, a Route 1 team, but Mark Hughes has got done a good job, got some good technical players in there, and they do knock it about a bit now, still.
Fifth highest team in terms of scoring, Everton, though. 51 goals. But conceding that's the problem, isn't it?
Exactly. Listen, we had chances against Manchester United. Jags had a couple of chances. And so you're not saying that you didn't create a chance. Okay,
yeah,
there was a set-piece.
Yeah.
But you're expecting more for the team. You're expecting more. And it's just wasn't there. Coming out of the Arsenal game, bitterly disappointed. You thought, okay, let's have a lift now against Man United. But there wasn't. There wasn't. And I think, you know, that's what the lads and the punters kind of get their heads around.
Okay, right, we're going to do look who's scoring now. We're going to give you this the clues now to see whether you can get the answer after the break. So if you know it out there, you might want to call as well, 0151 4720967. We're looking from the following clues for the legend behind the voice or the clues. So here's the clue one. Former Premier League winner, retired in 2000, spent the entirety of his career in England, apart from a very brief spell in Scotland. 33 appearances for his country, scoring 9 goals. And he finished his career with Burnley. Yeah? You got all those? So, spent the entirety of his career in England, apart from a brief spell in Scotland. 33 appearances for his country, scored 9 goals. And he finished his career with Burnley. We're going to have a short break in just a moment. Have a little think on that one. Aintree Week, you excited about that, John?
Love Aintree.
Got your glad rags together?
Love Aintree, I don't think that'll happen.
Park dress man.
But look, it's great for the city, isn't it? I love Aintree. Love that. Looking forward to it. I think you're going Thursday, aren't you, Sharpie?
Yeah, I'm going
Weather's good. I think the weather's
all
right.
No, it's raining,
isn't it?
I think it's raining.
Oh, I better do a weather check in the break. I thought Friday and Saturday, John, you might want to take the brolly.
Nah, it doesn't matter. I'll be indoors anyway.
Yeah. Looking down on the people. Right, we'll take a short break here, and then we'll continue with that look who's scoring. And more of your calls, 0151 4720967.
Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Tell you what, our producer's getting fired. These two spent the entire break trying to guess the name of the look who's scoring.
Well, that's a contest, isn't
it? I know, but you're meant to do it on air.
Makes it fun.
Well, it's fun for you and Dave, because you're basically just...
You're
right,
nearly fighting now over it.
He's got one right. I think he's got it right anyway.
You got it right, because the answer is...
It's Ian Wright.
Yeah, so the clues were former Premier League winner, retired in 2000, spent the entirety of his career in England, apart from a brief spell in Scotland.
Celtic.
Yeah, that was that. 33 appearances for his country, scoring 9 goals.
I thought he played a few more times, didn't he?
Finished his career with Burnley, and his only managerial experience came where? Do you know?
Hold on. Wasn't Barnett, was it?
MK Dons, first team coach, wasn't he?
And do you know what?
Born in 1963.
Great lad.
Is he?
He's a great lad.
Great lad.
Different class.
On and off the pitch.
Great lad, yeah.
Oh, listen, what a player he was.
Fantastic,
on the pitch. And he was like, put himself about, but...
And Arsenal,
he's a
amazing
great lad,
money at Arsenal, God.
Great lad.
Do you know what surprised me? Just 33 appearances for his country.
Yeah,
I thought he would have had many more of them.
No, look what he's up against. Shearer.
Yeah, Sheringham, came at the wrong time.
Yeah, Shearer, yeah. Sheringham, Ferdinand, yeah. Cole. You know, he was like kicking about that era. So even though his record at Arsenal was brilliant, I don't think he actually fitted into the England team. You know, he was always on the outside, if you know. He wasn't really got many starts. Mm. But 33 caps, brilliant.
Got his debut from Graham Taylor and played under Terry Venables as well. But a bit like Robbie Fowler, never really achieved probably what you would have expected at international level.
Yeah, perhaps so. You'd be asking anyone at Arsenal, like he's like Robbie is for Liverpool, but Arsenal, like, you know, he's just so highly rated and respected.
How many caps did Robbie get?
Oh, gosh, I have to go on Wikipedia for that.
No, but that's a scandalous. You think at the time the best
finisher,
best finisher by a mile.
Yeah,
wasn't recognised by England. Mm. You know, it was a Southern Press thing again. Go with the Southern players.
Yeah.
26 games, 7 goals. It's not too dissimilar, is it?
Yeah.
In terms of a ratio.
Yeah.
Right, 6:53. Listening to the Radio City Legends, and of course Liverpool after their draw with Spurs up against Borussia Dortmund on Thursday night. Let's get back to the phone lines and welcome Rob, who's in Waterloo. He's a Liverpool fan. Welcome to the Legends, Rob.
Good evening.
Hello, Rob.
All right, John. I'd just like to ask you what you think about the Klopp effect on certain players. he seems to have galvanised the likes of Lovren, Lallana, and we're now seeing a bit more than the best out of Firmino, who he quoted as one of the best that he'd seen in Germany. Well, it's just a pity he couldn't do to Benteke what he did to Lewandowski.
Well, you never know. Things change in football, Rob. You just don't know. But certainly you're right. You know, Dejan Lovren was he was shot to bits last season, wasn't he?
He
couldn't do right for wrong. Every decision he made was a wrong decision. But you know, the last few games, you have to say he looks like the player that we've seen playing so well for Southampton, and we paid 20 odd million for him. You know, you have to say he looks at his present moment in time the best of all our centre halves, which is great. Because, you know, we're talking earlier on the season, people are saying, you've got to get rid of him, he's got to go, and, you know, waste the money and all that. So he has, and obviously we're seeing a bit more of Lallana. I'd like to see a little bit more of Lallana, to be quite honest. But you know, he seemed, the effects rubbing off on him. He's a lot better than he was.
Oh,
so yeah, you know, and Firmino, I think there's a huge lot more to come from him. You know, he goes missing in games, but what he does, he's always got a goal in him, hasn't he? He's got a goal in him, you know. So
he just seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
you know, putting it in. That's and Lovren seems to be a better player now with Skirtle out the team for me.
At the moment, you know, Skirtle's the fourth. He's the fourth in order for me in our centre halves. You know, I think Torre, when he's been asked this season to come in, I think he's been absolutely brilliant.
He's
never let us down at all. He's great in the dressing room. You know, he's great around Merseyside with the people. You can see why every club he's been at, the fans absolutely adore him at City, you know, at Arsenal and at Liverpool now. So yeah, you know, the manager, he's a good manager, isn't he? You know, I've spoken to many people about him.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same with Sacco. I mean, Sacco, isn't he? You know, he still frightens the life out of you sometimes.
He does,
but he seems to have given him a bit more confidence.
He's all right. You know, I think Lallana and him have forged a, you know, a decent partnership at the back. You know, look at Tottenham. Tottenham are a good side. They've shown why on Saturday why they are where they are. You know, they're strong, they're physical. You know, Dembele was a mountain for them. But up front, you can see, you know, the young lad tried to ward Dele Alli because he was a Liverpool fan. He wanted to do really well. He didn't play well, but you could see what they've got with Eriksen, De Gea. You know, his ability, and obviously Harry Kane up front. They just got the goal out of nothing. It was a fantastic goal from their point of view. Not much Liverpool could have done unless Lovren got a little bit tighter. But what a finish! Great finish. You know, the goalie had no chance.
He didn't even play that well, I didn't think, Harry
No,
Kane.
He didn't, but he's always got a goal in him. He had three opportunities, three decent opportunities. That was probably the hardest out of the lot. And, you know, he just swiveled on it and he knew where it was going. And when you've got players like that, you've always got a chance. You score goals out of nothing.
Yeah, I listened to TalkSport and Collymore slagged off Lovren.
Hey, hang on, Rob.
If you look at that goal closely, you can see Harry Kane stop in his run and he sells Lovren just that foot or two. And that made the space for him to turn and hit it.
Lovren had a good game. I thought that was the only mistake. You've got to give credit where it's due from the striker's point of view, Rob. He manipulated it really well and, give him a yard, a bit too much. But, hey, he didn't take it well. You know, he took it ever so well.
Yeah, sometimes you've got to take your hat off to the
forward.
Absolutely. You know, it's easy blaming defenders all the time, but sometimes you've got to take your hat off to the forward and say, you know, really good skill, really good turn. Great finish. There's not a lot you can do about it. You know, every goal you can see, you can analyse and say, should have done this, should have done that. But sometimes you just say, hey, listen, the boy's done me a bit of a great piece of skill and it's a great finish.
Yeah.
Rob, where do you think Sturridge is at with his return?
I don't think he's fit yet.
Don't think he's fit?
I think he'll get there, but I don't think, I don't think he's fit.
Well, the one thing is just not himself,
and it's as if he's frightened to really...
Yeah, we've said that for a few weeks now, haven't we?
To pull it out, you know.
I'd say he's got to be careful, you know, because he won't be on the bus to Euros. You look at what England's got. Vardy's going to go. Kane's definitely going to go. Rooney's definitely going to go.
Welbeck's
only going to take four. Welbeck's between Welbeck and Sturridge. Now he's got to, between now and the end of the season, he's got to start scoring goals for Liverpool to put himself in the frame. He really has, because at the moment, he's a pale shadow of the player that we know he can be. You know, he had one fantastic opportunity at the weekend, and it was on clear on goal. Whereas you watched him before he got his injuries, you know, even last year, he would take that extra touch and he'd drill it into the corner, and he just panicked and smashed in as an easy save. You know, and he's just not right at this moment in time. Whether he does for England, you know, he's going to have to produce for
that's
Liverpool.
That's a worry, Aldo, because he's been back, what, 3 or 4 weeks now?
Oh, yeah, he's been back. So
that's his 8th or 9th game.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And the fact that he's training every day, or I'd like to believe he's training every day.
He
should be approaching that now. And listen, he's been out for a while and it's rusty, I know that. But now 8 games in, 9 games in, you should be like starting to say, oh, I forgot about my injury now, I'm just going to go and play.
Well, should he not be playing the full game once you're 8 or 9 games back in?
I'm not being funny. He come off, and we don't like to be substituted, you know, anyone, especially strikers. You're coming off, you think you can get the goal, get the winner. But it didn't merit staying on. If you've got to be honest to himself, Daniel, he didn't merit. We had to change something. Origi come on and give us something a little bit different. You know, it's up to him. And as Sharpie said, there's no progress. I'm not seeing no progress with him. He was as sadly as he was the first game he come back. And he is, like he played for England last week, he just seems to be playing within himself that little bit, you know, to maybe counteract him getting injured. I don't know, you know, we don't know, but he needs to really, you know, he's got to change and you know, try to excel in himself.
Rob, thanks for your thoughts. Thanks for giving us a shout there. That's Rob in Waterloo. Daniel Sturridge, it's an absolute enigma, isn't it? Because you really don't understand what's going to happen with him this summer. You don't understand what Liverpool would do if they're going to reshape their forward line.
Well, sure they will.
I said this before, and you know, and it's all right, everybody come on and praising Klopp and everything else, but he will upset players, and players will either take to him or they won't. He'll take to players and he won't. And I think Sturridge is in that situation now where the way things have been with his injury and he's coming back and he got taken off on Saturday, but it's not happy. It's not a happy camp at the moment. You know, for whatever reason, this is only looking from the outside. We don't know anything, but looking from the outside, it doesn't seem to be a love there between them Sturridge two. And Klopp.
Yeah, I agree.
There's not a love, a bond in there kind of thing.
With everyone else has took to him. You know, you're looking at Daniel Sturridge and you can see. Hey, and by the way, the fans give him a standing ovation when he come off at the weekend with 20 minutes ago, whatever. Daniel Sturridge, you know, is a fantastic. So the fans are still behind him, Steve, you know. He's just got to produce for them, you know, and be honest to himself and go for it because, you know, if he's got himself bandaged up wherever he has to counteract something happening, then he's got to forget it. He's just got to put the back of his head and go. And if he gets injured, then sub. Because he can't keep on playing, you know, like 75% fit, because that's how it is at the moment, you know. And whether it's a psychological thing with him, I don't know. You know, I want him to get back because he's so exciting. He's a fantastic player. We love to see, you know, the gift of him, what he does. But no progress, is it?
The interesting thing is, like, listen, we're talking miles ahead of ourselves here, but, for instance, if it doesn't work out, and we're only surmising here, if it doesn't work out, where does he go? Where does he go?
Well, we're talking about Lukaku. You said on Friday was spot on.
Where does Sturridge go? You know, does he go to Chelsea?
Well, those PSG links were put in there, weren't they, a couple of weeks ago?
See, I know, but people would be looking. PSG are obviously looking at what's going on at Liverpool, and they're seeing him getting taken off, and he can't be like taken off because he's scared in case he pulls something again. So he's got to be very careful. Where does he go from Liverpool?
Okay, you might want to give us some thoughts on that. 01514720967. A couple of weeks ago, Sharpie, we had a caller who wanted you to give a shout out. Do you remember your admirer?
Oh, yeah.
She's called back in today. Can you give a shout-out to Angela?
All right, Angela, how are you doing, darling?
All right, Angela.
What did you want me to say?
A bit more sensuous, you know, a bit more silky-tongued.
It's only 7 o'clock.
You don't get sensuous till what? After 10 o'clock. Oh, Angela, keep listening. Thanks for listening to the show. 01514720967 at the Radio City Legends. Back in a moment.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Find them at Bolton, Liverpool, Manchester, Rochdale and Stockport.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie.
Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Right, we'll get some more of your calls in just a moment. 0151 472 0967. It's the Radio City Legends. Look, if you enjoy the show, but you might also want some more sports talk in the morning without these two, you can catch up with myself on Radio City Talk, 7 till 11 every morning.
Why would you want to do that?
Why would you?
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair enough question. I don't know, but if you're up at that time
in
the morning.
Not at all.
Radio City Talk
is the place
to be. You up at
7 o'clock in the morning?
No, before that. 10 to 6, quarter to 6, maybe before that even.
Oh, my goodness.
What are you two doing tonight?
Tomorrow. No, I'm up early tomorrow. I've got to go to London.
I'm just getting in.
So I'll listen to you. Going to Runcorn, Steve. Yeah, I'll listen to you.
Going to Runcorn.
I'm just getting in.
Very nice. Right, yesterday, Mark, can you believe it? 35 years since Ronnie Whelan did this.
Dalglish to Lee. Now Whelan's clear over the halfway line. And Rush was onside in square of him. Now a great chance for Ronnie Whelan to open his account. Oh, what a dream for the youngster. Ronnie Whelan makes it 1-0 for Liverpool. And the only man on the field has really looked like scoring, in truth. What a marvellous start he's had. Ronnie Whelan scores on his debut at Anfield.
Ah, debut boy. 35 years. Can you believe he calls him young?
I saw he phoned me this afternoon. Isn't
did
that
he?
Funny? Yeah, yeah. I was speaking to him this morning about golf this afternoon. Great player, Ronnie.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And great golfer as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. He's a bit of a
he might just be wheeled out for the Legends game at the end of April.
I don't know if he's single handicap.
Is he in there? Is he seven?
Yeah.
Oh, the
not
substitute.
Far away from you, Sharpie, there. Are you?
How's your team doing, Sharpie?
They're doing all right. Don't worry about that.
Right, let's get back to the phone lines. 9 minutes past 7 o'clock, and next up on the Radio City Legends, let's welcome Steve, who's in Birkenhead. Everton fan. Hi, Steve.
Evening, Steve. Yeah, like me.
Very good. The boys are here. What do you want to talk about?
Oh, wait. Usual stuff. We're like we're becoming like broken records, aren't we?
Are you on a bus? There's a squeaking going on behind you.
I'm just backing it up for Roberto to get on.
reduced fares and all that. Right, go on. We can hear you now.
Right, sorry about that, Greg. Hmm. Aren't we? We're becoming like broken records.
Oh, I know. I know.
Every time, it's, you know, people start off with, where do we start?
Mm.
And it's the same questions with the same answers.
Yeah. Steve, it was just so disappointing, as I said. I thought, you know, against Arsenal, we were awful, and I'm thinking, I fancy us going to Old Trafford, I fancy us getting a result, because they're no great shakes. But I just looked at it and I thought, we were just flat. You're just so... Jags had their best chances, you know, from set pieces, and I'm thinking... Oh, I don't know. I thought we were awful against a team like Manchester United, who I think are very poor. But I thought we didn't turn up.
Yeah, I went to Graham, Greg, and even the atmosphere in the away, and you know, we're fantastic normally when we go, but you can just sense the growing resentment towards Roberto, you know. All this, he's a lovely fella and all that, and then you read Baines' comments today.
Yeah.
You know, that's Leighton Baines. He's the quiet man of the club, you know. But
Steve, I think what Baines has said, I think is plain for everybody to see, isn't it? You know, there isn't a chemistry there. And we talked to one of the callers before about, you know, formations and everything else. And there just doesn't seem like, you know, a drive and a desire to win games. You know, I thought against Man United, they were there for the taking. Then I go from the front, and I know people and Alder's been sticking up from Lukaku was isolated and everything else, but sometimes you've got to roll your sleeves up and give it a right good go. You know, bully people, push people around. I just don't think he done that, and I think we don't have enough people gritting their teeth and digging in for me.
To me, you know, it looks like he's got other things on his mind.
Yeah.
Now, whether this agent's now at him and saying, well, your only way out of here is to play your way out of here or sulk your way out of here. You know, we've seen other players in the past do it, not necessarily at other clubs. And it's not the best way of going about it, but I mean, it's just the same old. And
Steve, I said to someone in the other calls, were you happy when the teams were read out and they came out? Were you happy with what you had?
I was surprised.
Yeah.
Delafeu started.
Yeah.
I thought Leonard would start because he gives you the work rate.
Yeah.
And he's like having two players on that side of the pitch, whatever side he's on.
Yeah.
But, you know, Gerrard is a young lad. And obviously, Morales isn't going to start because he doesn't seem... to fit with Martinez, and you're just scratching your head. But I mean, the most damning thing for me yesterday was we were talking before the game, the lads, and you looked at that Manchester United team, and I could only pick two players out that team who I'd pay to watch in an Everton shirt, and two of them who would come in and make an instant impact. And for me, it's the keeper. You've got the most teams in the league. And I think Juan Mata would suit what we need.
Yeah.
And aside from that, the like for like or not as good as what we currently have.
Do you think, Steve, very, very quickly, I know we've got to move on, but very quickly, do you think, would you like to see a change in formation?
Yeah, I think we need to go with two up front. I think Lukaku looked more interested when he had Coney. I don't know about Coney, might not be the answer, but he needs somebody opposite. As John said earlier on, Morales. You know, I think John's spot on. He needs someone with a little bit of trickery or just a little bit to make a turn, or like Coutinho does. He just buys someone that little bit of space by having that flash of genius. And he's not as good as Coutinho, in my opinion, Morales. But he gives us that, and that's the only player we've got who can do that. And he sits on the bench for 79 minutes.
Yeah, I see. I looked at it, and you play, and we had Lennon, De La Feo, and Ross Bartley in the hole. But Ross was too deep, you know, and what I would say, I'd rather structure it and say, as you said, put Morales alongside Lukaku and have a go there, and even if you go with three centre-backs, and five in midfield and the two up front, whatever, just to change it a little bit, just to give him some help, because he was isolated yesterday. I thought he could have done more, but he was isolated, and I just, as you said before, you're coming away from games now and you're thinking, that's poor, you know, that was poor, we should have done a lot better against an average team.
It's a pity because, Steve, again, we were talking about Lukaku. You could see they were terrified of him as well. Every time the ball went up and he was present in the first half, they were backing off and they were so wary about him. But that's when he plays around him to make the most of that situation. You know, and they were 20 yards. It's like waiting for the cavalry to come, as I said before. They were 20 yards away when they had the ball up top against the back four. And it's difficult when you've got two or three men around you, isn't it?
Steve, thank you very much.
Must have come off thinking he'd won the lottery.
An easy afternoon for him, and that wasn't the case. They should have pinpointed him and got after him and told Lukaku to get on Daley Blind at every opportunity, get the ball forward to him, and go and support him. But we didn't, and you know, it was disappointing.
Moment of the match when the goalkeeper took the striker on in the first half. Everton goalkeeper.
He dribbled around him, didn't he?
Yeah. I loved it.
It was a bit of John Stones there, wasn't it?
Oh, everyone had the heart in it. No,
and the boy nearly got it.
Mignolet do it. But he done him in the end.
Steve, nice one. Thank you very much.
Cheers,
Steve. Get back on your number. Thanks,
guys.
Steve, all the best.
Right, let's get to Dave, who's in Netherton, also an Everton fan. Welcome to the Radio City Legends, Dave.
Thank you. I'd like to speak to Sharpie.
Oh, you can. Go ahead.
Go on, Dave.
I'm just thinking about the situation that's happened at Aston Villa this season, and a situation that's been a bit of a perennial under Mike Ashley at Newcastle. Mm-hmm. How come that those fans can see what a Mike Ashley and Randy Lerner cannot see? And how come Bill Kenwright is the only one now who wants Martinez to carry on? I've been watching Everton since 1957. I've seen some real fantastic football and I've seen some crap as well. And six wins at home in 7 months. It's not good enough. And suddenly now, Martinez, who never quoted a lot of stats, I'm not talking about stats and this, that and the other, now he's quoting that this team, he's inferring that this team is as good as the 84 team because we've got two semi-finals. What do you think about that, Graham?
Well, for me personally, I've said this before and I've had arguments with people before about this, whether it be the League Cup or whatever. For me, as a team, for me at this moment in time, you're gauged with your position in the Premier League. I take a team standing. I think you need luck to win trophies, you know, cups, FA Cup or whatever. You need luck in cup competitions. The sign of a good team is where you finish in the league. And that to me is a sign of a good team. And I think our league position is not as good as it should be with the players we've got. I look at the players at the moment, I don't know if there's a lack of confidence. Leighton Baines has come out today and said there's no chemistry there, which is a worry. So looking at the league performances, no, it's not good enough. You know, the first year Roberto Martinez came in, it was excellent. Second year wasn't so good. This year we thought we'd kick on a little bit. While some performances away from home have been better, we haven't won enough games at home, and that's a fact. And I think it was Graham Souness who was saying it like yesterday on the television. Home supporters deserve to see the team winning, and this season that hasn't happened.
Well, I've been trying to, you're stuck, aren't you? You're stuck. You want to see your team win.
Yeah.
But I don't want to see this manager in charge next year. I don't. I wouldn't give him a pound of your money, Graham.
I haven't got any.
So I wouldn't give him a pound of your money to spend.
Although I'll lend you a quid.
Although, having said that, I mean, he has made a few good signings and he can spot a player. But I'm not saying Niasse looks like a player. But I think it's about time that Roberto really knew about how much pressure he is actually under. And somebody mentioned this a while ago. I was reading it on some website. And perhaps we should start what they do in Spain, which is waving handkerchiefs.
The white hankies.
The white
get the white hankies out.
I don't think, Dave, I don't think that's going to go down too well wherever Tony is, the white hankies. The only thing is, you've got to make sure you get behind the team between now and the end of the season. What happens in the close season remains to be seen. But from now until the end of the season, we've got some really good games come up, important games come up. Liverpool and the Derby, obviously the semi-final as well. It's important they all stick together. What you don't need is, although people have got opinions and they're right to have their opinions, we need everybody pulling in the right direction. But it is a difficult time at the moment for the manager.
Nice one, Dave. Keep your hankies in your pocket at the moment. Let's get to John, who's in Chilwell. He's a Red. Welcome, John.
He best keep it, especially if he's got a snotty nose. He doesn't want to get them hankies out, does he?
John, I'm delighted that you're on now. Finally.
You've worked out tonight, Sharpie, haven't you, lad?
Yeah. Do you know what? John was just actually watching the sunset before Sharpie was working that hard.
I'm having a wonderful night here, you know. No work to be done. What have you got to say, John? Come on, mate.
It's probably a bit off topic. It's just that come the end of the season, I hope, you know, the owners back Klopp in his transfer targets. I mean, I know he signed Matip from Schalke, and he's brought that young kid in from Red Star, 19-20. But I think it's imperative. I think my feelings have been made known on Mingele. It's imperative. I just hope by giving Mingele that new contract, it was to,
I think what he'll do, I think Sam will stay. I think he'll go out and look for a really good keeper to vie for the number one spot. I think that's what he will do, and it's what we need. Young Danny Ward is young lad, and you know, we don't know how good he can become. You know, he'll get nurtured in the right way, but certainly, you know, I think that's what will happen, John, with goalkeepers concerned.
People say to me, well, he'd be a good backup, Mingele. SFG won't have Mingele on top money sitting on the bench. There's no way, if they sign a keeper, there's no way Mingele will stay there as a number two. No chance.
I don't know. I disagree there. I think. You do need two real good keepers, don't you? You know, as I say, Danny's only a young lad. You know, learning his apprenticeship in many ways. So to go out and get two goalkeepers is a no-no. And you know, to be fair, I've backed Mignolet up many, many times, and I know he makes mistakes, but as shot stopping's concerned, he's right up there with the best.
John, you shouldn't have said that.
No,
why
it's true.
Why did you say shot stopper? Because that really annoys me. Because tell me a
shot stopping, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me a keeper who's not a shot stopper. Because to me, a top keeper, he's got to be a shot stopper.
Well, I'll tell you something, John. Do you remember Pepe Reina's last season for Liverpool?
Yeah.
Great keeper. Didn't save a shot. Steve's here.
Yeah, he had a dreadful season, yeah.
He must have made about four saves in 50 games. And the most important part of being a goalkeeper is being able to save the shot on target for me. That's the most important. It's all right if you've got a keeper who can come out and cross. He's 7'9" and he comes and gets every cross. He punches everything. He knocks people's lights out when he comes together. That's fine. But if he can't save a shot or can't save a penalty, he's no good, John. So at the end of the day, Mignolet is not a great all-rounder. We know he's got faults, but too many people, and perhaps you're one of them, John, that jump on the bandwagon too quickly to slaughter him when he makes a mistake. When he saved us on a lot of occasions, and I know he's not the finished article. You know, I know he can be a lot better in many, many ways, but too many people are ready to blame him other than other people around the place.
Well, I'll tell you what, you see, Sages, I'd willingly wager, because I'm used to having bets with you. Like, I'd willingly wager he cost us...
the one that lost that bet to me, John? Oh, not you now, mate. The Sturridge bet that he was crap and he wouldn't score a goal.
I'll
give you something, John. You're consistent, mate, anyway.
Well, I'll tell you what, John. I might be too bad about Sturridge, because he goes to the toilet too tonight and he comes back injured.
I love the way you two actually have got a natural sort of argumentative streak between you. Because John was actually...
John and John
came up to us in the commentary box at Anfield. He's a lovely fella.
He's a good fella, Eddie. He paid his 100 quid to all the race, so fair play to you, John.
That's off to you, John. Nice call as well.
What I wanted to say, I'll be honest with you, I mean...
Go ahead.
Also, I can see the likes of Ben Fechi and Sturridge going myself at the end of the season.
I think one of them might go, John. I don't think he'll get... The two of them will go, to be quite honest. But I think, you know, it's a massive... Massive decision for the manager to that up top, what he's going to do next season. That's the biggest decision for me, what he's going to do regarding going on to the future of Liverpool.
John, we've got to bid you farewell. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughts this evening. Mate. It's 25 minutes past 7 o'clock. Just a quick thought. Wonderful tributes to Johnny King at Tranmere at the weekend. The minutes applause and then of course a terrible display, which probably matched Everton's display yesterday. It was shocking.
Coming back to Everton's display?
Because it was awful. I had to turn over to the cricket. It was dreadful.
It's a shame with the result, because that was a banker for me, you know, to get in the playoffs. They really put themselves under pressure now, Tommy. You know, on such a day as well, you know, it was just...
We talked about it, hopefully, propelling Tranmere for Johnny King's memory. This might be the boost they need to go out and win the game.
Hopefully.
But Steve, you were at the game. You said it was hopeless.
Oh, it was awful. It was a shame they took Gary Taylor Fletcher off, who was having a good game, and that the team fell to bits. But there's one guy, the centre half, Steve McNulty.
Yeah,
and I have to say, I don't know whether you
he's a big unit.
He's a big lad. He's a big. Oh, the opposition players, the Welling players, were bouncing off him, and all 18 Welling fans. There was 18 fans. I counted them. Yeah,
that's four taxi loads of it.
Home with 3 points.
What was the attendance?
I think it was over 5,000.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant.
The fans have been brilliant this year, the Tranmere fans. You know, they have got behind the team and in the droves.
Hmm. Okay, we're going to see you back here on Friday, aren't we, John? You're going to Aintree, but yeah. Oh, you're going Thursday?
No, I'm going Saturday, mate.
I'm going Thursday.
You're going Thursday.
So you might not see Friday for you, Steve. You know, I was going to go. We had the tickets and everything, but I know you said that, you know, got to...
Bless you. The Legends is back on Friday night at 6:30. We'll see you then.
Radio City Talk Legends with Williams BMW. Experts in motability. Search Williams BMW for their latest offers.